Have you ever had the unfortunate experience of seeing a speaker who was clearly nervous and having a really difficult time? Of course you have. Now think about that experience for a few seconds. How did it make you feel? You probably remember feeling tense and anxious yourself, and you really couldn't wait for the experience to be over. There are two important things to look at here. First, this nervousness most likely had to do with what the presenter was doing with their body. They probably brought their arms down by their side, had their stomach scrunched in, and were slightly hunched over. All of which conspired to cut off the flow of oxygen to the brain, make them tense up even more, and cause their voice to be shallow and quiet. More often than not, it's physiology that gets in the way, not psychology. Secondly, notice that whatever the speaker or presenter was feeling got transferred to you. You probably found yourself tensing up and almost holding your breath as you waited for this torture to be over. Remember, the words that were coming out of his mouth may have been brilliant, but you certainly won't remember them that way. There is a part of the brain that is free from constraints of rational thought, and it relies strictly on emotion. We not only have more faith in what we see, we also have more faith in what we feel. Of course, communication isn't about choosing the right words, it's about being understood by your audience. And here's the newsflash for you. The message occurs in the audience's head. Study after study proves that we're predominantly visual beings and will place more trust in what we see over anything else. As a side note, there are evolutionary reasons why we react like this, and they're insanely fascinating. We don't have time to cover them here, but if you want the background on this, I highly suggest you read the book. You've likely heard and forgot 100 times before, your body language alone accounts for 55% of how your audience understands your message. The next 38% is accounted for by the tone of your voice. And a measly 7% can be attributed to the words that you choose. So why, if our nonverbal cues are 10 times more important than the words that we choose, do we continue to focus so much of our attention on pretending like we're Shakespeare? Probably because no one's ever given us actionable advice on what to do with that 93%. You can rest easy though, because those days are over. Showing us that the body and the voice are inextricably linked, Mark Bowden shows us exactly how we can use body language in order to get the desired effect from any communication we deliver, whatever it is. It doesn't matter if you're delivering a speech in front of 5,000 people or talking to a customer over the telephone. Winning body language will show you how to be more effective in getting whatever it is you want out of your communication. Let's take a journey to see what our nervous-filled friend could have done differently to get his message across. We're going to start with one of the most powerful and overlooked tools you have in your communication, what you do with your hands. Number one, what to do with your hands. The first thing we would have told the presenter is that they should never drop their hands below their midsection. This is what Mark Bowden calls the grotesque plane. For evolutionary reasons, your subconscious mind will wonder why you've made yourself a static target. Your voice will get dull and you'll have a lifeless look in your eyes. Quite literally, your subconscious mind will be forcing you to play dead. Think about the most passionate and persuasive communicator you've ever met. How often did you see their hands down by their sides? So, first things first, keep your hands above your waist. The second thing we would have told the presenter is the one secret that great communicators know that the rest of us don't. That getting your audience, whether they're 1 or 1,000 strong, to trust you starts with the truth plane. If you've ever watched an evening news personality or watched Ryan Seacrest on American Idol, you've seen it in action. The truth plane is the area in and around the height of your belly button. Keeping your hands along that plane while you're talking gives the feeling of being centered, controlled, collected, composed, and calm. This is a great place to start from. However, it also gives you the physical sensation of level-headedness, balance, and abundant energy. Most importantly, the people receiving your communication will feel energized and calm as well, which is the perfect state to receive a message. Communicate as much as possible in this plane. Sometimes, however, you'll want to take it up a notch like Emeril Lagasse and energize your audience with a passionate message. You'll need to display inspired, trustworthy, and passionate body language. For this, you want to employ what Mark calls the passion plane. This is the horizontal plane of gesture that lies a couple inches from your sternum. When you place your hands in this plane, your heart rate and your breathing rate will automatically increase. It also creates a much higher level of energy and excitement in your communication. Think of a time where you saw somebody incredibly passionate giving a speech, and you'll probably remember somebody who gestured in this plane quite a bit. Everybody loves to see somebody passionate about a topic and life in general. But if you let the energy get out of control and gesture frenetically in this plane, you'll often come off more like a raving lunatic than a passionate communicator, so be careful. So, when should you use the truth plane and when should you use the passion plane? Essentially, use the passion plane when you want the content to be exciting and energetic, and use the truth plane when you want the content to be factual, honest, and sincere. For instance, let's say you're giving a business presentation where you have some reports to talk about. If you wanted to create a sense of excitement about the report, you'd hold it up at chest height. If you wanted to be perceived as trustworthy, you'd hold it at belly button height. The last thing you need to be aware of around the use of your hands is symmetry. According to many psychological studies, symmetry has a lot to do with how we're attracted to form. With all due respect to John Travolta and Saturday Night Fever, keeping the right hand and left hand symmetrically aligned when you're gesturing will create a much more believable communication style. If that's not enough for you, there's actually evidence to show that you'll also be perceived as better looking. Just saying. Number 2, what to do with your breath. Now that you know what to do with your hands, let's talk about what to do with your breath. Well, I already know what to do, you might be thinking. It's in and out, right? Well, yes, smarty pants, it's in and out. However, think about the difference between that in and out. When you want to take a deep breath or get a breath of fresh air, which is the part that creates the positive sensation in your body, is it the in or the out? So go ahead, do it right now. Take a big breath in with me. It's the in breath, right? Well, unfortunately, most of us talk predominantly on the out breath, which causes us to create an experience that's less vibrant, narrower, and pessimistic. Why? Because your brain isn't getting enough oxygen to think on a very high level. That's why. However, you literally feel more full of life when you're on the in-breath. One of the other great benefits to the feeling is the way that you're open to more new ideas. We've already covered the fact that your audience will naturally copy your physical frame. So if you are modeling the in-breath, they will do the same and fall into a frame of mind where they're more open to new ideas. Your ideas. That sounds great, but if you've ever tried to talk while sucking in air, you'll realize that it's a pretty tough task. Well, fear not, we have some good news for you. There's a way to be on the in-breath without getting in operation. Here's what I need you to do. Stand up and begin expanding yourself upwards, gently straightening out your spine. Act like somebody's pulling a string attached to the top of your head. At the same time, don't let your heels come off the ground. Just notice how you feel when you do this. You probably feel like your lungs are more full of air than they usually are, and you also tend to feel lighter and more energetic than a couple of seconds ago. Now for the interesting part. Start talking to somebody who's sitting next to you in this stage. After about 30 seconds, switch back to your normal state where you're a little more hunched over and breathing less deeply. If you're like most people, you'll actually find that it's harder to think and form sentences in your original state than it was on the in-breath. Quite simply, make sure that you've got great posture and make sure to remember to take deep breaths throughout your communication. You'll appear more confident, relaxed, and your thoughts will flow more freely. Number 3, what to do with your head and face. Facial expressions. You've got about 5,000 of them in your repertoire, and they play a very large role in how we relate to humans face to face. Here are some tips to help you communicate more effectively. First, a gentle smile helps in creating a feeling of warmth. The sides of your lips need to be upturned a little bit, but the muscles around the eyes needs to also mirror the smile. In other words, smiles are great, but fake smiles will create a sense of unease. Don't do that. A great way to create a natural smile, even when you don't feel so smiley, is to take a nice, big in-breath. Second, you can use your eyebrows to your advantage. When you raise your eyebrows very quickly, we create a sense of acceptance. Third, you can tilt your head slightly to one side, which will give the audience the signal that I'm listening to you, even when you're the one doing the talking. It creates a sense of empathy that the audience will mirror. Number 4, how to make others feel like you accept them. Communication is also a two-way street. Unless you're up on stage giving a presentation, there's a pretty good chance that someone else is going to talk back to you. So here are 3 powerful tools that will allow you to create a sense of acceptance with anybody you meet. Which, when you think about it, is what we've all been after from the moment we were born. What we first need to do, as Mark points out, is an incredibly simple but powerful thing. It's using the yes state. By getting into a nonverbal state of acceptance, you'll be displaying a positive message to an audience of any size. So how do you do it? Simple. Just review as much positive vocabulary as you can. Yes, good, agreed, certainly, sure, true, yeah, by all means. Those are all good examples. And whenever you're in communication with somebody, whether you're getting praised by the boss or scolded by an angry customer, say these positive words in your head and accept whatever communication comes your way. As your body literally gets into a state of acceptance, the other person can't help but do the same. You can use this method to defuse a nasty situation in a jiffy. Secondly, there's a simple gesture you can make in both the truth plane and the passion plane that will literally bring people closer to you. And that's to make the gesture of pulling something towards you. Lastly, and related to number two, there's a secret handshake that will make everybody you meet feel like $1 million. The next time you shake hands with somebody, turn their hand slightly over yours and pull their hand slightly closer to your stomach area. Note, I said stomach area. What this does is allow the other person to have a feeling of acceptance as you bring them closer, with a pinch of dominance thrown in for good measure as their hand slightly dominates yours. We won't get into the evolutionary factors as to why this works, but just try it the next time you're meeting somebody and see if they don't smile when you do it. In essence, the more you accept others, the more they're inclined to accept you and act in your favor. Number 5, putting it all together. To wrap things up this week, here's how you put it all together. Make a choice, make it bigger, and keep it tidy. For instance, if your choice is to get your audience excited about your topic, you need to get excited yourself. However, don't just get a little bit excited, get very excited and stay in the passion plane the entire time. Lastly, keep it tidy by not adding in a hint of irony or apathetic twist. Just stick with the passion. The bottom line in all communication is this: be clear with your actions and minds will follow. I hope you have an amazing week.